This episode of Real Life Sci-Fi is brought to you by Epic Reads and the new sci-fi fantasy Heart of Iron by Ashley Poston.
New York Times bestselling author Victoria Schwab says Heart of Iron delivers a delightful cast and nonstop thrills. The pages flew by and I couldn't put it down.
Don't miss this epic adventure, perfect for fans of Six of Crows and Firefly.
Pick up Heart of Iron today. Available now wherever books and audiobooks are sold.
Do you do audiobooks?
I tried, but the one that I tried to listen to was too quiet, and I was cooking.
Feral Audio.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Real Life Sci-Fi with Wade and Willie. I'm Wade.
I'm Willie.
This is the sci-fi podcast. God damn it. It's a Feral Audio-produced podcast. Thanks for having us on, Feral Audio, for what, 2 or 3 years now?
It's been over 3 years.
Has it? I don't know about that.
It has, because we started in 2014.
You did.
Like October.
Jesus.
That first one with Kumail, I was listening to. I remember listening to it, and that was summer of 2014, yeah.
We're trying to get him back, but he's busy.
He's busy in a good way. He's busy in a good way.
He's got to plug his movie, and there's no better place to do it than this podcast.
Well, that's my point, because our listeners probably wouldn't see that movie.
But his podcast on this network probably still gets more listeners than ours. And
I don't think
done.
He does it anymore.
No, I know. It's done.
Oh, right. Well, our guest today is Aaron Moles. Hey, Aaron.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Thanks for being back.
I'm a third timer.
Three time club.
Oh, and if you're listening, thank you. I didn't mean to make you small.
Oh, because, well.
Hey, yeah, whatever.
So we've done the wow test on you, but we didn't call it that. And I don't remember what it was. So we're just going to do it real quick. We'll do a speed round.
Yeah, let's do it quick. Yeah.
Okay. Aliens?
I believe they exist. I don't believe they've been here.
Bigfoot?
No.
JFK conspiracy?
Yeah, a little bit.
Ghosts?
No.
Hmm.
What do the baseball players do?
Oh, superstition? Are you a superstitious guy?
You know, it's funny because it kind of leads into a little bit of our subject today. When I'm doing things like riding airplanes, I get very superstitious. Not when I feel like my life isn't on the line. Not unless I feel like my life is on the line.
Okay.
Do you have any anxiety? Not that that has anything to do with anything.
Sometimes.
Do you think we'll ever teleport?
Like on Star Trek?
Yeah, like, you know, not like beam me up, but just like...
I think that there's aspects of quantum physics that can lend itself to teleportation eventually. I don't think it'll be like particle-to-particle transportation.
Do you think that the government is decades ahead of the technology that's presented to the population now?
A decade, not multiple decades.
What? But a decade from now is pretty fucking good, dude.
Yeah. I mean, when you think about, like, the 90s technology and how everything was still, like, very bulky and blocky, I think the government was also kind of like that.
Dude, the fucking...
I don't think they had i7 processors
when I went to 90s. When we were at that McMenamin's UFO festival, we went to this aerospace museum out there, and...
They got the spruce goose.
This fucking spruce goose was there.
Oh, I've been on that before.
It's made of fucking wood. Yeah. It's the biggest fucking plane I've ever seen, and it's made of wood.
It only flew one time.
Yeah. I kept knocking on it because it was like made of wood. And I was like, this is fucking the dumbest plane in the world.
They let you touch it?
Yeah, just, you know, but it kept pounding on it. And it was like, this is fucking hollow wood piece of shit. Anyway,
they don't let you on it, do they?
Yeah, you can walk in. And,
oh, really?
Yeah, when I was a kid, they had it by the Queen Mary in Long Beach for a little bit.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, cool. I couldn't figure it out. I was like, why'd you go to McMinnville?
Yeah, no, okay. it was a long time ago.
Yeah, I think you're like a 5.
But hold on. They had an SR-71 there, right?
I don't remember.
Well, I'm saying at this aerospace museum. They had an SR-71 Blackbird. And this has been, obviously, my favorite jet since I was a kid. This is the equivalent of a Lamborghini of jets.
It's the stealth jet,
oh,
right?
I was at March Air Force Base a couple of months ago, and I think they had one there, too.
And there's only four in circuit to be looked at and whatnot,
yeah.
You know? And it blew me away that this thing was built in 1964.
It's that old, huh?
And we didn't know about it until the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And so this thing,
right.
For 30 years, the coolest fucking jet in the world, for 30 years, was nobody knew about it.
But that's why all of your UFO stuff is kind of like, it's probably just government stuff instead of aliens.
I've always been able to admit in my head that this could be government, but the Blackbird can just go straight and fast. That's it.
Right, but that was made in the 60s.
Yeah, I know. And I'm like, I cannot imagine what was made in the 80s.
But you know what?
Those triangle ones, probably.
Yeah.
If you look in the cockpit of a Blackbird, though, like that, it's called a Blackbird, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. If you look in it, it's probably still janky. It's probably still got, like, those plastic flippy things.
There's a place to hold your favorite baseball card.
Right. It's still probably made of the technology of the time. It's not, like, aerodynamically, I'm sure it was designed well in advance that no one ever saw it. But I don't think that it was ever ahead of the technology that existed at the time. Yeah. It didn't have a flat screen. It didn't have an iPad in it at the cockpit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But holy fuck.
What are they hiding? I don't know. That's why you can't believe in aliens. You just can't anymore.
I think a lot of the technology was taken from alien crafts.
But
0-point gravity.
Wouldn't we be further ahead?
Well, I'm saying I think that, you know, they say, technology is exponential the way that it, 10 years is like, now 10 years quicker. I don't know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying, though, that like,
are you talking about Moore's Law?
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, picture that, but I would imagine that let's say Moore's Law completely accurate, even though it's just a prediction, and you've got secret military, secret government, all this stuff, I would imagine that they are at that same rate, but holding back more and more and more from us. Because like, we can't let anybody see this. Oh, no, we can't see that anybody. So they're actually like exponentially holding more stuff back from us.
I mean, so every 18 months, it doubles. Technology doubles. So do the math.
So every 18 months, they double how much they're holding back from us. I don't know, whatever.
developing at half the rate, and they're holding back double the amount, so we're losing information.
Yeah.
They're taking it away from us.
Do the math, though. If they're a decade ahead, if the military is a decade ahead of the things that we have in our pockets.
I always heard they were 20 years ahead. That's the number that I've always had in my head.
Well, but that makes them so fucking far. That's ridiculous.
But the Blackbird, I thought the Blackbird was built in the late 70s. I was like, wow, I can't believe they made it in the late 70s. It was fucking built in 1964.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Well, think about drone technology. Do you think they had the little drones that we can put our cameras to right now in, like,
1964, they had a drone that was modeled after the Blackbird. That was an unmanned...
Right. They had the U-2, but, like, that. It's not like a... I mean, like a copter drone, like a...
I know what you mean.
The levitating one. I don't know if they had hovercrafts, which is a primitive version of that technology, which weren't really practical in combat.
What do you mean they had hovercrafts?
They had, you know, the hovercrafts that had, you probably had a G.I. Joe toy that where it inflated like a inflatable cushion.
Oh, the thing
cushion.
That would just go over swamps?
And yeah. They had that. That was a hovercraft. That was still a copter-driven.
Yeah.
A levitation device.
Right.
You know, I'm sure that same application was miniaturized and applied to drones that we have today.
I mean,
but they didn't have the mini drones back then, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, back when? What are you talking about?
1973.
Maybe they did.
I don't think they did.
Dude, this SR-71 drone, holy shit, man! It just looked like a, SR-71.
It's an unmanned aircraft. Yeah. That's cool.
I'd never seen that before. I didn't know about it.
Yeah.
1964.
Hmm.
That's when they had the drone, the same time that they had the real one?
They built them at the same time.
I'm tired. I'm sorry.
All right.
No, I'm apologizing to the listeners.
It's called, hold on, it's called the Lockheed D-21 drone, right?
Mm-hmm.
June of 1963 was mated to a mothership for the first time. What? So this says mothership. 1963, and Wikipedia says 64. So even within these two websites, the dates are different.
Well, but that's like, when did a movie come out? When it went into production or when it actually came out?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just stuff like that. It's only 1 year apart.
Yeah, I bet you the 64 was the first flight. What?
Sure.
The actual first flight did not occur until 64, December of 64. Okay, there you go. Peace out.
All right, what are we talking about? We're talking about flight stuff, right?
Yeah.
You know that the history of... I mean, I've spent my whole life looking at in the sky. And when I see an airplane, even today, I'll watch it for a while.
Just to see if anything happens?
Every fucking airplane I see, I'll stare at for a while.
Yeah.
Do you run outside and watch fire trucks when they go by, too?
Probably. But, like I imagine me being on the plane and trying to look for me. So when I'm on a plane, I'm trying to look for people looking at me.
You can't. It's too high.
No, there was once when I was flying into Burbank, though, there was a guy with a green laser pointer, kind of like what you have, and he pointed it directly into, like, all the passenger windows. So to get that pinpoint accuracy, like looking into windows.
He did?
Oh, yeah.
You're not supposed to do that.
No, I know. It was completely illegal what he did. Yeah.
Did it blind you?
I mean, I don't know.
It went by your eyes?
I love it went by my
that
eyes.
That somebody blasted you because that's actually really rare.
It wasn't just me, though. It was like everybody on my side. Like he hit every.
Did everyone go like, hey?
No, everybody's kind of over the flight at that point. Everybody just wanted to land. I'm just saying when you're looking specifically at an airplane to what get you, that accuracy.
What do you do? How come I can never remember the word superstition? What do you do superstitiously before or during or after flight? Not obviously not after, but what do you do?
Oh my God. I had a thing and I don't do it as much anymore. I get really drunk now.
Yeah.
That's a huge thing.
That's what I do.
Yeah. I just self-medicate.
I get there so early that there's nothing else to do.
I do that too. Yeah.
Yeah.
I get there as early as possible.
I get there flights before mine. Well, I'll be sitting down. I'm like, oh, why is everyone getting up? I'm like, oh, cause it's the flight before mine.
Yeah. Me too.
Cause
my biggest anxiety with flying is just getting to the airport.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've actually missed a flight before, too.
Oh, my God. That'll never happen to me.
I did that, remember?
Yeah.
I like airports, though. I actually, Minnesota has a really nice airport. MSP is a really awesome airport. It's got, I think LAX is finally catching up to it, but I don't know. If you have a nice airport, it doesn't hurt either.
Yeah. DIA is fucking amazing.
Yeah.
What do you do, though?
I'm trying to remember what I actually do.
I have so many issues in my head going.
One thing I used to do was as I'm entering through the accordion hallway, I used to touch the metal on the outside of the plane.
I do that every time. I've never not done it.
I used to do that, yeah.
Why?
It's almost like to ground myself, to be like, this is, just, you know what, everything's good, you know. But
this thing's solid. It's not going to break apart at 400 miles an hour.
I don't believe in superstitions, and I have to touch the plane on the outside before I get in. And
what
I
if
always,
you can't?
I always have been able to. No, I mean, you know, even that one, just the
yeah,
accordion
the little
thing,
tiny.
You can always touch it.
Yeah.
Right. Well, not in the future when they seal that baby off.
I also look at the engines, like the engines on each side of the plane that I can see, just to see if there's something wrong. Not that I'm going to be the one person that goes to the pilots and says, hey, something's wrong with the engine. I know that's completely irrational as a thought, but I always look at the plane just to like see if it's looking good.
Dude, here's what I do.
It's completely useless, but...
I wouldn't even know what to be looking for.
Anything.
Oh,
no, but I've seen weird stuff. on my plane before, and I'm just like, I guess it's okay. There's just like a little piece of metal like flapping in the
wind.
Yeah,
that would give me
like,
anxiety. Yeah. One thing I do, I always have to get a window seat. Like without
me too.
Fail.
Me too.
Although one time,
I've traded with people.
Last time I flew with friends, and I let them do it. I let them have the seat, or I didn't let them. They booked it before I did. I usually have to have the window seat. I always like. I'm just always looking.
I had to wake up a guy once because I didn't have a window seat, and I was like, I have to look out the window when we take off. And he'd been sleeping for like half an hour because it took us so long to take off.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, dude.
Could you give him an aisle at least?
No. I mean, like, he kept his window seat, but I made him open the window so I could look out because he closed it and took a nap. I was like, fuck, did you sleep?
Well, there is a weird etiquette. Like, coming back from Portland, I noticed the woman, like, just staring out the window. And it was, like, on the sun side. So I was just, like, baking.
Oh, right.
And, like, finally I was like, do you mind if I close this now? And she's like, no, thank you. So, I don't know. I guess I care about other people more than me.
Yeah. Here's what I do before I get onto a plane. I have to touch the outside. I look at the rivets and bolts to see the paint chips on them, because those chip more faster than anything else, to see how long this thing's been in flight without a paint job.
Right.
Why would that matter?
It wouldn't.
It just lets me know that, like, oh, they're not taking care of this one.
Yeah, I know. It's what you can see. I mean, if anything falls apart on a plane, and this is coming, I'm a bit of a plane crash aficionado, just so you all know. Like, I've obsessed about this stuff all my life. So
me too.
The ones that I've seen, the ones where this shit happens are ones where, like, the rudder off the back breaks, which will cause them to not be able to horizontally maintain the level. That's happened on a few. Alaska Airlines in 2000 had one. And then if anything flap-wise or anything gets in the engine.
Because what most people don't realize is that most plane crashes happen within takeoff and landing.
Right.
Most of them are that.
Everybody realizes that.
Yeah.
Well, but everyone's just, I guess most people just don't freak out about it.
But, like, I'm just saying that a bolt has never come out of a plane and just completely just disintegrated.
Yeah.
The plane has never disintegrated.
Oh, no, but I'm saying, like, oh, this one's old enough to where this has got, like, paint missing from the bolts.
Aren't they all from, like, the 60s? They're all really old.
Yeah, but you put a new paint job on it, and I don't give a fuck. It's like I don't think about it.
Right.
I do know that, check this out. So, like survival. I've always been looking for the best place to sit on a plane to survive. Because everyone always says, no matter who they are, they're like, oh, there aren't any tests or, you know, like.
The wing.
They're like, oh, everything's just as equally safe.
Who's they?
Anybody you ask. If you ask someone
who
makes planes.
If you ask me, I say the wing.
If you ask someone who makes planes, if you ask someone who works for an airline, they always say, oh, there's no difference in your seat, because they don't want you to think about anything.
Tell that to the tailies.
From every plane crash since 1971, the best place to sit is fucking behind the wing all the way to the back. You have a 69% chance of surviving
tell that to the tailies.
And the front four rows, 49%. Big difference.
If the plane's going nose down, your chances are zero. What was it? Oh, yeah.
If you sit in the back, you have to smell the bathroom and you got to get people walking by you the whole time.
If you sit in the back, you're the last one to die. So
I try to sit behind the wing so I can comfortably monitor the wing during the whole flight. I watch the wing the whole time.
I
look around, but I check on the wing. And then, like, what's weird to me is I have this weird thing where and this has been happening a lot to me lately, where I'll start to recognize people I don't know. And I'll be like, oh, my God, I recognize, like, four people here. I've never seen them before. And so what I think is happening is that my death was so violent that I ingrained everyone around me as we all died together.
Right.
And so I'm remembering the future.
Right.
Because that vision was so hard.
Yeah, except it keeps happening to you.
I know.
See, I always do. I don't do that. That's a little weird for me. I mean, that's really weird. But but I do look at people. I'm like, are these the people I'm going to die with?
Yeah.
As I'm walking up there.
And, like, I don't know what's scarier. You guys tell me what your answer is. What's scarier?
I'm the worst person to fly with.
A bunch of babies are crying, or when there's babies on the plane and none of them are crying?
Oh, when babies are quiet, that's awesome.
Because I picture it's like they're focusing on them seeing their death too.
No,
I don't know why baby. Why does babies matter? Because God's not going to take a baby.
Oh no, just because it's like. For me, the third eye is pretty huge, and I feel like babies have less contaminated third eyes because they don't have as much fluoride, and so they actually have, before language happens, before culture happens, it's like you might be able to see things and interpret them better than, well, not better, but accept them, and I feel like we can see things and then throw them away because they don't fit into our.
But babies don't know what the fuck is happening. They don't know anything.
But a baby seeing its own death might pay attention to it.
I don't think it even knows what death is yet.
Everything is new to this baby. If he saw his own death, he'd just be like, okay.
I think that when a plane is going down, the only thing you're thinking the whole time is, well, I hope they can figure this out up until the end.
All right. I'm sorry. Let's get into it.
Wait, I want to hear more about Moles' superstitions.
I think we've covered the bulk of them.
Okay.
I'll let you know if I remember any, but I mean, especially like watching the plane, like, and if I can't see the outside, now planes have that screen and I'll watch like the flight path the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
Flying must be fucking boring for you guys, man. Just staring at the wing and the flight plan.
I'm constantly going between the window, the wing, the flight pattern.
I could die at any second, Wade. That's not boring.
That's, I guess stressful. I don't know. It's
stressful.
If you made me do what you did, I'd be bored.
If there's ever turbulence, I check out the stewardesses.
Yep, they'll be the first to know.
Because I'm like, if it's anything worse than regular turbulence, they're like...
they're screaming.
Their whole life. If they're like buckling up, hold on, man. Shit's going down.
I've been on flights where they buckle up just because the turbulence is too rough.
That's normal.
Did you guys watch Sully?
No, I haven't watched it yet.
No. I don't know if I want to watch it.
Clint Eastwood does something to actors and makes them worse. It's like him and M. Night Shyamalan. Like, you can tell when you're watching one of their movies because the people just act so shitty.
Yeah.
Because they're trying to impress him so much.
It's just like there's like this guy and his dad, and they're like running for their flight, and their faces are like, whoa, we gotta catch our flight. Oh, out of the way, bro.
Okay,
we'll
do it again.
I've heard stories about Clint Eastwood where... He does like 9 to 5 days when he shoots. He doesn't do like the 12-hour
shoot
days.
No, I know. Yeah. That's why his movies are so shitty.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, that's great if you work on his crew, but.
That was good.
Yeah. And he's just like, oh, yeah. Did we get it? Okay, good. Yeah.
I want you to imagine.
I was watching Sully. I didn't know that he directed it.
I didn't either.
And I saw these people acting and I went, is this directed by fucking Clint Eastwood? And I looked it up and it was.
He did American Sniper too, right? It kind of gave me the trailer gave me a very American Sniper vibe. I get it.
You think he's good at directing himself, though?
He didn't direct Unforgiven, did he?
I'm sure he must have.
I think he did.
Million Dollar Baby.
He definitely did that one.
Well, he did Gran Torino, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. People lose it, man. Like, even Robert Redford kind of lost it, right? Like, he's not that good anymore. It's crazy. But what was I fucking saying? Oh, but Tom Hanks, he just did Tom Hanks. I guess you probably just don't give that guy direction, right? You're just like, just act.
Yeah, you're Tom Hanks.
My favorite thing is to picture the biggest director, trying to give notes to the biggest actor,
Yeah.
Who wins? Fuck them both.
Well, there's that story about Sean Connery and Michael Bay. Is it Michael Bay? He did The Rock.
Yeah.
And he was like giving him, Michael Bay's giving Sean Connery direction. And Sean Connery goes, why don't you go blow up a bridge and just like walk off?
That's all you're good for.
That's the funniest fucking story.
That's the ultimate, one-sentence clash of personality smackdowns I've ever heard.
But this is all on topic because we're talking about plane crashes, right?
Yeah.
Right.
But are we talking about one specific plane crash?
Yep.
Yep.
We are talking today about TWA Flight 800. This happened in July of 1996. I remember hearing about it. But yeah. I was deep into college drugs at this time.
I was still in high school. I was about to enter senior year when
this
happened.
I like almost missed the Super Bowl this year because I was having a good old time.
In Fort Lewis?
Yeah. I mean, July was after Fort Lewis, but like I was just hanging.
Is that when you slept on the dirt floor? Or no, that was Blue.
Oh, yeah. What the fuck?
See, I was glued to my TV watching CNN news coverage and watching the tail of TWA Flight 800 floating in the Atlantic Ocean. I wasn't having a good time when this happened.
Do you know about this flight?
That sounds a little familiar, but no. I mean, and you know, you got to say it anyway.
Yeah,
right?
It was this was a flight from JFK International Airport, and it was heading to Paris. And 12 minutes into flight, it blew up. And there was a plane actually heading towards it.
Yeah, that was U.S. Airways Flight 217, I think. I took detailed notes on this.
Yeah, I wrote it down. I don't see it, though. But yeah. So they, you know, it was on. They were asked to climb altitude because their planes were headed towards each other. They weren't close to colliding by any means. But
right.
That's just what they do.
Normal air traffic control, yeah.
And so this other flight was like, oh, fuck, something just blew up. It was a big explosion.
Yeah. That was a big explosion.
Is it? Oh, they're coming from London?
I don't think so. there was a big explosion. What do you mean?
And so right after this happened, it's weird how many witnesses were involved in this one event.
There was a wedding at the same time, and the videographer got a little bit of it on camera, too. And I think the footage was destroyed in the event.
I was going to say, I didn't see any footage from that.
There's one still, and it's really just
Is that the one with the... Go on. What would it look like?
It's just a black trail of smoke and then like a white streak. It's like way in the background. It's like, you know how lenses work. You're not going to get everything in the shot.
So here's the thing, man. This plane was delayed a little over an hour before it took off. Okay. Now, what's weird about this is I don't know. I don't look up. When somebody throws a conspiracy theory at me, I look it up. When somebody throws something at me, I look it up. Before, I don't look everything up, you know? And so this, I didn't think there was anything here. And the first documentary that I watched about this just was like, I was like, oh, fuck, we don't have an episode. So let's throw United 93 into this, too. We'll do both plane crashes because I was like, there's nothing here.
That one's a little fishy, too, but yeah.
But that's because – and then I watched this other documentary, and the first documentary just seemed like complete propaganda then after watching the second one. I was like, holy shit. They brushed off everything.
Yeah.
They brought everything up and brushed it all off.
The two conflicting stories are really crazy.
Yeah.
I'm not a 9/11 truther, by the way. I know I said there was something fishy about Flight 93. We'll talk about that some other time.
Yeah.
I think terrorists did bring that down, but there's other weird stuff.
Is that the one that disintegrated or whatever?
That's the one that crashed into Pennsylvania.
Right, and it's just like nosedived.
And there was a giant crater. Yeah, anyways.
Back to
what weirded me out is even the Wikipedia, you know, Wikipedia, you can use both ways because it's like, yes, people can edit it and it's always being edited and people can add their facts. But I'm just going to read this real quick because this weirds me out. And we'll get into it, but let's see. TWA Flight 800 conspiracy theories exist, the most prevalent being that a missile strike from a terrorist or an accidental launch from a U.S. Navy vessel caused the crash and is the subject of a government cover-up. So that sentence alone to me is so fucking weird because right when this flight went down, initially all of the witnesses involved said, because people saw it.
Yeah.
This was just outside of Long Island. People witnessed it. The guy flying the plane heading towards them saw the explosion.
You just say, the plane?
But anybody that witnessed it said they saw a streak of light go up in the air and then an explosion happened.
Listen, if it was shot by a missile, it just can't be true because fucking politicians love that shit. Like, all they eat it up like cookies. Like, they just they want there to be so many terrorist attacks so that they can be like, did you see what fucking Theresa May said?
No.
She's like, oh, because that fucking the London attack, which
which one?
The
one that just
well, how many were there?
There's been three within the last month or so.
The one where the guy, like two guys, like stabbed people or whatever.
That was that's the third one. That was last week.
Which I don't understand. There's like seven people dead, right?
I think so. Yeah.
It's like who cares? I mean, not to be a dick, but we lose seven people. Anyway, she's like, oh, we got to start regulating. Oh wait, I should do it in British. We got to start regulating the internet. Which is like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, how does that come from anything?
They rented a van and fucking stabbed people. Like, what is regulating the fucking internet?
They coordinated on the Facebook.
It's so fucking transparent that they just want to take all of our rights away. And so if it was shot by a missile, they would be like, yes, what do I want to get rid of? But not guns.
But that was the first story was terrorists. Terrorists must have shot this down.
Government, I mean, things like that are way more complicated than you think. Because conspiracies like that involve multiple people. Now, the popular theory is the Navy one. And
Hold on. The news initially was saying terrorists might have taken
this
down.
Nobody knows.
This
was 3 years after the first World Trade Center bombing, which was in 1993.
And Youssef, at this point, there were hundreds of threats against the U.S. About them using planes as bombs.
It's a reasonable theory to follow in the media narrative, for sure. Yeah.
So initially, everyone was saying probably terrorists. Without, you know how
that's
news,
the uneducated.
Without, how news is now where it's like, there's no facts, but right now it could be terrorists.
Well, they got to sell the paper, right?
Yeah.
The problem with that, though, is finding a terrorist. You need your Lee Harvey Oswald that shot the missile at the plane, and they didn't have one, which is why I don't think the terrorist thing holds up. And this is
that's the thing. If it was a terrorist, they have a tendency to claim it.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And I don't know where Al Qaeda was at this point in their growth.
They were little grassroots.
I think they were a smaller.
They were coming up through the ranks.
Yeah,
we're still training them.
Yeah, I don't know who's.
We just supplied them with most of their weapons.
Well, also getting an RPG, like you don't just get a missile launcher. Okay, in America, especially, it's hard. That shit's tricky.
Oh, I can get you a missile launcher.
But really? Well, let's talk about this on the air.
I actually do want to do. I'm not going to say. I'll tell you guys after.
Gun running.
So this thing, 230 people died.
See, 232. I don't even remember it. London's losing their shit over seven.
And at the time, this was the second biggest airplane disaster. And they happened to be flying right next to military airspace.
Right.
And
I don't know how close they were in military airspace or not.
They were close, though.
Okay. I don't know the layout of where the Navy is in the New York area. I know,
like even there was even a military helicopter that was underneath them. When the plane exploded,
and they had to
get out of the way because there was shit falling all around.
Yeah, I don't know if was it America. I remember there was a ship below them. I thought it was naval. I thought it was.
Are you saying how I said military?
No, I'm just military? Like. No, I'm thinking like just being on that helicopter, like, things start falling.
What the fuck?
How do you want to?
And so the weird. Oh yeah, yeah.
Well, how do you want to break this down? Like,
I think that I mean I don't know. There's a lot of information.
I thought you wanted to tell a very graphic.
can I tell you exactly explosion for explosion what happened? Yeah. Okay, so it's like 15 minutes into the flight. It's still climbing. It's at like 15,000 feet, maybe a little lower. And then let's pretend you're on the plane. Let's just put you in the seat of a passenger. There are kids flying to France for summer on this flight. You're on the plane, and then suddenly there's an explosion beneath you, right?
Wait. I want to be one of the guys from New York going to Paris.
Okay, good.
You want to be one with me?
Yeah.
All right. Yo, bro, this Paris trip is going to be off the chain.
Oh, man. I heard that, like... Oh, goddamn, I don't know.
Yo, but, like, it's nothing compared to the Bronx, am I right?
I can't wait to meet these promiscuous French women.
Hey,
Oh, I can't wait to get into France, you know?
Who the fuck invited the Boston guy? What the fuck?
I just want to go to France.
No, I'm talking about that guy.
Oh, that guy?
What's up with this guy? Who the fuck are you?
Yeah, get the fuck out of here. Hey, we're on a plane. And then all of a sudden, so there's an explosion, right? Right below. It happens in the center, according to the official explanation, it happens in the center wing tank.
Oh, shit, dude. Oh. That was just an explosion.
Oh my God.
Okay, and then.
Fuck, shit.
You're looking from a passenger seat.
Right, I am. Ah.
And then around you, like, the entire, like, all around you, like cracks just start to show up.
And the
fuselage, in the cabin.
That's guys, just look at, oh, it's cracking all around us.
And then the nose of the plane just drops at like a 90-degree angle, just straight down to the ground.
Oh shit, you guys!
Oh my God! You just lost the pilots.
What? Oh fuck! I guess we're the pilots now.
No, you can't pilot the plane. There's no cockpit.
Oh, damn!
Put your head between your legs.
I knew I never should have left the Bronx.
You're still climbing. There's like fire. The people in the very front of it are just getting burned to death right in front of you.
Start climbing higher.
Yeah, you're just going higher. It's almost at like a 90 degree. It's like a roller coaster almost.
Right.
But not,
it's like
not
that
a fun
Superman
one.
Ride.
Yeah, it's a little bit like the Superman ride. And then
front comes off and it starts climbing super fast and high. And
Tanner, fuck, this is like that Superman ride.
This isn't normal.
Dude, but in the Superman ride, there's an end to it. I wonder what the end of this is.
And then the plane starts to bank. I think it banks a little right.
It's not like Superman anymore.
Oh, dude.
And then it just like starts going straight down into the Atlantic Ocean.
I can see the water.
Oh, fuck. Is that what that is? I thought it was the sky still.
You're probably on fire by this point, too.
Oh, fuck, dude, I'm on fire.
We got a chance.
Nope. And then boom.
I'm hotter than the Yanks this year. You know what I'm saying? They're on fire.
I'm sorry.
That's exactly what they were thinking. But just like seeing the front of the plane just fall off when
that's
you're on
crazy.
A plane.
Yeah.
That'd be the worst thing ever.
I mean, just watch the Taylor episode of Lost.
Yeah.
So
that's what it would be
they
like.
They saw it. They experienced that. And they lived.
That's the official report. Is that the front came off and it flew straight up in the air. Like the front coming off made it go higher in the air.
Yeah, the plane went higher in the air. Yeah.
And that when everyone says that they saw something go up and then an explosion, they're saying, "Oh, that's why, because after the front ripped off, the plane went like straight up in the air." Here's the problem.
Is it wings?
That.
Or did the wings fall off too?
No. The plane was like the cockpit was the only thing that fell off.
Okay.
The problem with that story is, according to the FAA report, they released this on CNN where they were like, mm-hmm. but before when everyone was trying to figure everything out, everybody was throwing information everywhere, and the FAA was like, look at before this plane exploded. There was this blip on the screen. This blip merged with the plane, and then the plane exploded. So according to the FAA report, here's proof that missile hit it. Whatever this was merged with it, and then it blew up.
Mm-hmm.
According to the plane that was watching it, the plane had already reached elevation. It was at 14,000 feet or whatever.
It was still climbing, but yeah, it was where.
I thought they told it
to go up because of the other plane.
Yeah, they did, but the other plane is basically saying that when it was near its top is when it exploded. Basically saying the pilot didn't say that after it exploded it went up in the air. He said that it basically just exploded.
I took notes on.
I mean, they should have checked for rivets with no paint on them.
There's another witness too. This guy was flying like a small plane or whatever in the area, and he was coming in for landing, and he saw the explosion too. And this
guy was in a helicopter. Major Meyer.
Fred Fitzmaier.
First name Oscar.
Fred Fitzmaier, which is also It sounds made up too.
Fred Fitzmaier.
Yeah.
This guy was a Vietnam pilot.
Yes. Okay. We're talking about the same. So we both looked at the same guy.
He never saw anything like this before.
Missiles, though, too.
Even in Nam.
Which contradicts the... Sorry, I missed that whole thing.
I'm just doing my little Fitz character.
He said he saw four ordnance explosions and one petrochemical explosion. This guy knows the difference between the two.
Yeah.
I seen it all in Nam. They call me Lil Fitzy.
Though that wasn't the petrochemical explosion.
Well, I think we've all seen a petrochemical explosion from 9/11 when the plane crashed into the towers. It's a slower, more... it almost looks like it's playing out in slow motion.
Yeah.
It's just like fuel
what
exploding
is it called?
Everywhere. A petrochemical explosion.
So that was like an explosion fuel of explosion. The fuel catching on fire. It's like, yes, the plane hit, and then the shit caught on fire, the fuel.
Oh, petrol?
Petrochemical.
Petro?
Yeah, like, you know.
Petrol?
Petrochemical. Fuck you.
No, I'm trying to wrap my head around this word. I've never heard this word.
Oh, okay. Right.
It's one word?
It's what scientists and engineers say when they're talking about fuel.
We gotta name these different kind of explosions.
Well, there's different types of fuel, you know.
Well, fuel's called petrol, so why don't we call it a petrochemical?
But ordnance explosions, like,
Whoa.
But ordnance explosions, like missiles and stuff, they explode at a much faster rate. Like, yeah. they are made to combust and just everything explodes everywhere, right? So that he saw, and he says he knows the difference between the two, and that he saw both when this happened.
What's the other kind?
Ordnance, like just missiles, just...
Like upon impact, this thing fucking blows up all over just as fast as it can blow up, as opposed to something needing to ignite.
Now, this might be a good place to segue into the FBI and how they took over the investigation. Because he went to the FBI. He went to the Coast Guard first. He was like one of the first people on the site as the Coast Guard's like gathering body parts and debris. He wants to go in and help, this Fred Fitzmaier guy.
Hey, it's me. Little Fitzy.
Like, oh, I saw it.
I'm here to help.
I know you guys need help.
I was in Nam.
You guys with the Coast Guard?
Hey, you guys cleaning up that explosion I just saw? Yeah, there was a petrochemical explosion and then an ordnance explosion.
We want you to talk to this guy over here. So he goes into like this trailer. He's directed to this trailer where supposedly he's directed immediately to the FBI. The FBI's there right away.
Well, now,
which is what's
here's
weird
the thing.
It.
This is what's weird. Whenever a plane crash happens, the National Transportation Safety Board, they investigate.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
The FBI will come and investigate when there's criminal.
Exactly, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Whatever. So
when there's reason to believe that some sort of criminal activity happened.
So both of these companies are both conducting investigations right away.
Right.
FBI jumped on real quick. And that's because people thought that it was the terrorist missile attack right away.
Uh-huh.
They're like, oh, fuck. FBI jumps in.
Right.
Is this a terrorist missile?
So Fred Fitzmaier is directed to this trailer. He goes to the Coast Guard. He's directed to the FBI trailer right away. Like, really fast. They're already there. And he says, this is how he describes it. He opens the door, and there's like this big muscular guy who was, like, working out in the trailer.
So he opened this door. And there's a big muscular guy. He's just working out in this trailer. And I'm like, Fitzy, what'd you get yourself into?
and then the
why'd
guy...
Why'd you stop working out?
So Fred volunteers to help out.
Right. So, hey, guys. You need a hand? I'm a little Fitzy. I was in Vietnam. So I'm a helicopter pilot.
So then the guy says, okay, I'm going to go talk to this guy. So he enters this other room in the trailer, closes the door. He has like a 3 to 4 minute muffled conversation. He doesn't know what they're talking about.
I tried putting a glass to the door, but that doesn't work. It only works in movies. I don't know why I thought of that.
The guy comes out. He's got his shirt back on, or he's got a shirt on now.
Oh, he didn't even have a shirt on?
No. Or maybe he's wearing a tank top. I don't
know.
What
the fuck? What a weirdo.
Yeah. Well, he's FBI. He works out. I don't know.
Yeah.
So then he comes out and he's like, okay, I'm gonna take your testimony. I'm gonna write it down. He's got like one of those little notepads with the lines and the spiral.
Just
binders.
A little tiny shitty memo notepad.
Why are you guys? Why does that matter? All right.
It will matter.
All right.
So then he starts taking notes. Right. So then Fred Fitzmaier talks about everything in detail that he knows, like everything that I just told you.
Yeah.
The four ordnance explosions, the petrochemical explosion. He tells it to this guy who's just taking notes. He's like, Then he looks and he notices that he's taking no notes. It's just a blank notepad.
He never wrote anything down that he said.
Why wouldn't you just write it down?
I don't know.
Why bother faking it? Just write it down.
Because there can't be any record whatsoever.
You could just burn it. And he let him look? Like,
well, he stuck a peek or something.
Well, but, you know, I would be kind
of... If you've been to Vietnam, you're pretty good at sneaking a look.
Oh. He looked into, like, the reflection of the window.
They don't call me
little
Fitzy for nothing. I used the reflection of the window. I saw. He wasn't writing down nothing.
So, yeah, so then they didn't give a shit what he had to say, basically.
Right.
And there was a guy from the NTSB who was a buddy with him in Vietnam, right?
Uh-huh.
And when he finally interviewed him about his account, he was like, I've been trying to get to you for 6 months. He's like, well, you got my number. Why don't you just call me? And he's like, because the FBI forbade us to talk to any of the witnesses. The FBI came in and told the NTSB, you can't interview any of the major witnesses. So that's fucking weird. And this guy was his buddy. He's like, I couldn't interview you.
Right.
So, okay.
And the FBI didn't have a lot of interest in, like, getting the actual witness testimony.
Why? Is there, like, a theory on that? Is that something?
Well, the theory is that they were railroading the investigation, basically.
The theory, here's the big theory that we kind of haven't been talking about. Because here's the other thing. There was a boat below the plane when it blew up. Well, now, this boat was on aircraft radar, meaning that it was a big boat. It was big enough to be on a plane radar. You don't find little fucking fisherman boats or whatever on your radar when you're aircraft. When the crash happened, this boat went away from the crash.
Yeah.
Now, this guy brought out this. I didn't write his name down, but his witness statement was basically like he worked for the Navy. He was like something high in the Navy, and he's like, whatever this boat was, it didn't act the way that any boat would act. Meaning, if you're a civilian boat, if you're a military boat, a big fucking plane crashes, you go help out. You go try to find survivors. You just go help out as however you can. This boat was unidentified and was going away from the wreckage.
Right.
And the FBI denied the fact that this boat existed for like 6 months, until like 6 months in the investigation. Like, oh yeah, there was a boat there. It's kind of like...
Well, it's probably pirates.
Well, possibly. I mean, the thing is this, if it was pirates, if it was any sort of terrorist
Japanese
or anything...
whalers, could be Japanese whaling boat.
let's say it was a terrorist boat and it shot a missile. Let's say that.
Yeah.
They would have fucking gotten that. You're right. That's the hero story. That's what they want. They want the terrorist story.
Yeah, they want the Lee Harvey Oswald. They want the Patsy.
The problem is according to the major conspiracy, that was a Navy ship, and they accidentally shot down this plane, and they were just trying to get out of there.
Okay. But you still wouldn't get, I don't think, would you? You'd be like, fuck.
Well, we gotta go help. The FBI then comes in and starts investigating everything right away, because like, oh, this is probably terrorists.
Like,
and then all
a...
of a sudden, they're misdirecting everybody within their own investigations. They're not interviewing key people. They're stopping the NTSB from interviewing witnesses.
That's interesting, too, yeah.
And in the news, they start saying, at first, they're like, oh, it was a terrorist missile. Then within a couple days, all of a sudden, they're saying, it was a bomb. A bomb must have gone off. And they negated
you,
this boat.
If you fuck up, you don't, like, go, let's get the fuck out of here. you go like, that wasn't me. Let's go see if there's any survivors.
Well, there's probably like a private, like some low-ranking guy that accidentally fired the missile or whatever. And he's like, Sergeant or Captain, I accidentally shot down a commercial airplane. Shut up.
Get the Buchanan! I mean, oh,
get out of here.
This is the last straw, Private.
I think that if a Navy ship shot down a plane, that everyone in that chain of command would know immediately, and
right,
they would have been getting orders.
Yeah.
And that order would have been get out of there. The boat wouldn't have gone off on their own.
Right.
But why? Like, there's going to be a news? Like, why? What would be the point of leaving?
Well, okay, well, you don't want this to get pinned on the Navy. You want people to trust the Navy. So you want to get the fuck away from that.
You feed the media whatever story you want. They have no fucking clue.
But
what's
at this
going
point,
on.
At this point, you have other entities coming in. You have the Coast Guard. Right. You have any rescue, anybody. Everybody's going to come and try to help this.
Right. Plane. But if the Coast Guard comes and they're like, "Hey, why is the Navy here? Did you guys do that?" They'd be like, "No, we're here the same as you. Did you guys do that?"
But then they'd be like, "Hey, let's check your missile records."
Well, also that the reports.
Go
that-
ahead. we fired a missile earlier today, but that was earlier.
Hey, this missile launcher smells kind of dirty.
This missile launcher smells a little like gunpowder.
There's smoke coming from that missile launcher. well, it also could have been. Was another theory is that it was a submarine, and that's what fired it. So a submarine would be easy to hide in that situation.
Well, all right. Why don't we take a quick break? I'm going to get another beer.
And then we'll get into some other weird testimony, weird shit
that
happened.
Yeah, I got
more.
Because
this gets so much fucking weirder.
Okay. Yeah.
The weird stuff is what makes me fucking go nuts about it.
Welcome back to Real Life Sci-Fi. Real quick, I wanted to talk about the live show.
June 27th. That's a Tuesday. It's going to be at the Pack Theater. We are doing a live episode where we get to show, I'm going to show my favorite UFO videos and the ones that make me believe. And our guests are Jeff Davis, Rob Schraub, and Steve Agee.
So I guess the four of us are just going to make fun of you and you're going to try and slog through a bunch of footage.
No,
but look here. This one's good. Look at this. This isn't a pie plate.
What does UFO mean?
So the Pack Theater, it's on Santa Monica. It's like 6,900 or something like that?
It's west of Cahuenga.
If you're in L.A. or surrounding areas, please come join us. Free show.
Yeah, it's a free show. We ask that you, the theater asks that you donate what you want for the show, and we can't advertise to that you can...
What?
That there's beer.
BYOB, you can't say that?
You can't advertise that.
Oh, well, that stands for bring your own brisket.
Bring your own brisket.
It's a barbecue show.
And they usually have some brisket there that you can buy cheap.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Usually in the cooler up
front. I'm just a performer. I'm never in the front.
Get some brisket.
All right. So when we last talked, we're back with Aaron Moles.
Hello.
You were saying a submarine or something, or should we just like kind of get into the really weird stuff?
Let's just. I think that we have so much stuff to go that
the most meaty stuff is probably in the investigation, and that we can talk about motive and
all right,
whatever happened. And yeah.
We're both kind of leading the charge, so say whatever you want.
So there's one. Okay, so Henry Hughes, who was the senior accident investigator for the NTSB at the time, the NTSB, like, as far as government organizations go, I'd say it's one of the good ones. It's basically math nerds, and their only bias is to the facts and improving airline safety. They want to know what happened.
I mean, all they do is look at statistics of crash stuff, right? And then go like, this trajectory is a little off. Well, I wonder if maybe that rivet wasn't painted.
They look at what happened and they make strong suggestions as to what needs to improve.
And they fucking put planes back together after the crash. They take all the pieces and put them all back together.
You can see TWA Flight 800 actually put back together in a hangar in its entirety, like a puzzle pieces.
Which is nuts, because that was all in the ocean. It was all on fire, and they got all of it. They even put wires back together. It was crazy.
Except one specific section of wiring, which we can get to. According to the guy who...
Wait, is this the same flight? Is that what we're talking about?
Yes. Yeah. We're basically focused on this. So he's with the NTSB, and he said that the FBI would constantly, like routinely, intervene. They'd actually kick people out as they're putting together the plane, and then they take parts out.
What the fuck?
Yeah. And they were trying to control the narrative, the FBI was. The FBI put the NTSB in a box, and they were basically trying to get a specific answer.
Now, what's weird about this is take away conspiracy theory, because that's what's on my head. That's what's in a lot of people's head. Take that away, And what the fuck are they doing? Why would they kick anybody out that is also doing an investigation? Why right. would they kick anybody
out? Well, but
out?
Also, where is this info coming from? Like, is this...
The guy, like the former head of the NTSB.
Okay.
He's on camera saying all this.
Yeah, but yeah, yeah. but within this narrative, within this storyline, there are a lot of people that talk about the differences in the investigations by both parties. Big time. Because the head of the NTSB, Jim Hall, the NTSB chairman, he was appointed by Clinton, and a lot of people even said that, like, he didn't have any real credentials, that the best thing about his – that he didn't have any credentials and that he was just, like, a figurehead that was put in there. And then there's a lot of weird shit with all of this stuff, and that maybe he was just kind of a puppet that could be told what to do because he didn't fight the FBI. Well, anyways.
He was
Hughes guy,
dictator.
That's who you're talking about?
Henry Hughes, I believe.
Oh, no, I was talking about Jim Hall.
Who's Jim
He's
Hall?
He's the NTSB chairman. Okay. Hughes was in charge of the lead investigation.
Senior accident investigator. Yeah, he was the guy. Who's the guy in the field on this? Yeah. Yeah, Hughes seems on the level. He doesn't seem like he's one of the crazy people. Okay, but the whole investigation was controlled. What they found, though, should we skip ahead and talk about what they wanted?
Yeah, yeah.
So what the official conclusion was as the plane was taking off, every plane has wiring, obviously, and
okay,
there's wires in planes.
Do you mean like electric wires?
Electrical wires,
not like Hidden Dragon.
Not Kung Fu, not Matrix food.
They're
no.
not pulling the planes on wires.
Maybe.
So the official story, there are three fuel tanks on this big-ass plane.
Right.
And they've had fully fueled up both the wings, right? But the center one, they kind of left empty. It doesn't, you know, it only needs a certain amount of gas. You're not going to overfill it. And so this thing, this middle tank was like empty. And the official story is that there was some wires that are in that fuel tank.
Right.
That had a short in them, and it ignited the whole.
The wire casing had like a crack in it or something. It was exposed somewhat.
Why the fuck would there? Is that like the gas? Is it the gas gauge or something? So the pilot knows when it's. Why is there a wire in the fucking gas tank?
That's a good question, and actually, that's what the NTSB fixed from this plane. If there's any good that came out of this,
because there actually were wires there, and
there were wires.
What the fuck? That's crazy.
So they changed the wiring around planes going forward. To not be near the fuel tank.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And so the official story is that because the plane was delayed over an hour, the AC unit is right underneath that fuel tank. And that fuel isn't flammable, or, you know, it doesn't just light on fire.
There's actual demonstrations of this, too. There's a YouTube video of someone, and it was in one of those documentaries, where he, like, lights a spark on that fuel, and it doesn't ignite.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, because I've smoked cigarettes while fueling my car before.
Yeah.
On a cold day.
Right.
When I used to smoke, because I know that the gas doesn't burn. You can throw a match on the gas. It's a fume. So if it's cold, there's no fumes.
Mm-hmm.
So I've, like, smoked cigarettes at the gas station to be funny.
Is that true? If it's cold, there's no fumes?
I don't know.
The fumes aren't ignitable at certain temperatures when it's that low because...
Okay.
I mean, I've done it. Anyway.
But you haven't put it straight up, I mean.
Yeah. But and so the official story is that AC unit being on for over an hour heated up the fuel within that compartment to a level to make the combustible gases.
There was a spark in the wiring too.
Yeah,
there was
to just ignite because of the wiring. That's the official story. and
but I thought you said it was empty.
It was empty, but
there was still enough fuel.
You know,
in there.
An empty fuel tank still has residue.
Jet fuel is still pretty potent.
Okay.
We saw that on 9/11. It's what brought the towers down. I mean, come on.
I don't know anything about 9/11. I don't even understand that joke. Is that something to do with steel beams?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thermite? Anyways.
We saw planes crash into the towers. They really fell. I'm not a 9/11 conspiracist.
I like that you keep doing a truth or disclaimer.
I'm not a truther.
I know. Truth is a hard thing.
All right. Come on.
All right. So,
don't talk about how chastised you feel for being a truther.
Originally, okay, so
it's so hard being a truther.
The front of the plane ripped off. There was some yellow, orangish residue. And supposedly the FBI had taken, well, the FBI took samples of what this residue was. Mm-hmm. The whole time they were trying to find whatever, you know, residue fumes or anything they could, whether it was a bomb or a missile.
Right.
And so the FBI took samples of it, and they never shared their results with what those samples were. I'm going to get into the couple that got arrested.
The couple I didn't hit on this one. There was this guy.
I'll remember it. His name was Terry Story. The day before the day before this plane blew up.
Do you think his kid goes, "Dad, will you put me to bed?" And he's like, "Sure, of course." And he goes, "Will you tell me a story?" And he goes, "Me."
He flew this plane from Paris to New York the day before.
Okay.
And he was a no bullshit guy.
He probably wouldn't do what I was saying then about the story.
I'll tell you a story. Let me read you a story right now, unironically. I know our last name is Story, but no.
I believe he was a retired cop. And the thing is, when this went down, a lot of people just wanted to help out.
Wow, who has the time to become a cop and then become a pilot? That's crazy.
Someone who just couldn't take the heat and got out of the kitchen.
So he didn't like the way any of the investigations were going. And he was there checking it out himself. And he saw that orange residue and he popped off a piece of that.
What the fuck? Can anyone just walk into this?
No, place? I think that's illegal.
No. But
that's interference.
But he was the pilot that flew the plane the day before. I'm sure he could get in there.
I mean, it's still illegal to do that.
Well, here's the thing.
Anyway.
So he popped off samples and they sent it and he got this to a journalist. His samples, because he's like, "This is fishy."
Right.
Let's go.
A cop and a whistleblower? I don't believe that.
He was dedicated to justice and the truth.
He's a rare dying breed.
So they sent their sample to a California lab, and they said that it was either a missile or warhead residue.
Really? Right?
There was
And so what was weird was the guy he gave the sample to. His name was Jim Sanders, and his wife, Liz Sanders, was a TWA attendant, and she was also a trainee, or a trainer. And so she wanted to get to the bottom of everything, too, and she felt things were weird. So she worked for TWA, and her husband, Jim, who was a reporter, they took that sample, and they were the ones that were trying to figure out things, right?
Mm-hmm.
They got arrested for conspiracy to remove parts of a civil aircraft. They mm-hmm. both got arrested. This is months later after they'd gotten their own reports back. I'm going to read this because when they went to jail, or they got convicted of conspiracy, and before their sentencing, Jim Hall, who was the head of, he was the chairman of the NTSB.
The guy you called a puppet earlier.
Yeah, yeah. He wrote a letter to the judge about them. And this is what he said. "This is not a so-called victimless crime."
Read it as Morgan Freeman.
"This is not a so-called victimless crime." I can't do Morgan Freeman. "Victimless crime. These defendants have traumatize the families with the release of misinformation, the only plausible cause of which is commercial gain. Love, Morgan Freeman."
I didn't retain any of that because your impression is so good.
I was picturing like an old white southern man in a linen suit.
I'm going to read it again for reals. "This is not a so-called victimless crime." Telling the judge, "These guys aren't fucking, they didn't do this on accident. These defendants have traumatized the families with the release of misinformation, the only plausible cause of which is commercial gain." He's telling this judge that these guys are trying to make money off of this conspiracy theory.
By selling papers?
They weren't trying to Yeah, maybe.
Well, one's a reporter, right? Yeah, yeah. So I'm sure he reported on.
Have you ever heard of anybody writing a letter to a judge to help? I mean, you know, yeah, it happens.
Well, it's like character witness stuff, right?
Yeah.
But I guess you could do that.
But what he failed to mention to the judge is that, like, oh, also I'm investigating this crash that's kind of fishy, and these guys are, like, you know, on the other side of it. They, like, one of them worked for the airlines and had a bunch of her friends die.
It seems like a conflict of interest.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah.
But I wonder if that's just you can do that. Like a character witness, that's biased, right? Of course. So I wonder if you can just do that from the other side if you're the prosecution.
But it's just weird to me because that to me is if there wasn't a cover-up, if there wasn't some weird fishy stuff going on, I think he'd be like, yeah, well, oh, wait, are you offending these families? Because I want to figure out what's going on, well, but I don't know why you're trying to figure out stuff on your own. Because, like, we're doing it, you know, we're doing a good job.
I'm not a figurehead. I have real power.
Why? I'm going to tell the judge that you guys are terrible.
I wasn't told to do this either. I'm doing it on my own volition.
Well, I mean, when you're a federal government agency and you want to prosecute someone, you will throw everything at them. And messing with a federal crime scene, which is what the FBI had there, I mean, that's pretty serious shit.
But why didn't they just, did they not name their source? Like, why didn't they just turn in Hughes or no, who was it?
Terry Story.
Yeah, Story. How could I forget? why wouldn't they just be like, we didn't do shit, man. We got this from an anonymous.
Yeah.
Like, what? It seems I don't know.
I'm Terry Story. Yeah. And I took this from that hangar. Like that's
it. Really, this is the one thing that no. I don't know how long they served. But
I mean, they got to be out.
No, they're dead. A long time though.
They're dead.
For
they
both
died in prison.
I'm like that is.
They should do a prison where, like, if you're married, you can just like be in a cell with your spouse. Yeah. That would be fun.
Some people would think that would suck.
That's true.
My wife's nagging at me all the time.
I've been begged to get away from the damn brood.
They call it the ball and chain for a reason.
Yeah.
Boom.
I thought my house is prison.
At least the food's better. Henry!
So check this out. The feds said that residue that they were all testing, you know?
Yeah.
The feds came out and said, oh, that residue was just glue.
Yep.
And even Charlie Bassett at NASA, he did tests and he said it was glue. That's what the FBI said.
Well, they probably sent him glue.
No, they said that though, right? Charlie Bassett at NASA did tests and he said it was glue.
Ask my mom if you don't believe me.
Charlie Bassett came out and gave a notarized 2-page statement that basically said, I didn't test any of their stuff and I didn't test if this was glue or not. I didn't test any of this stuff.
Yeah.
So here's this NASA guy coming out and saying they're using me as their proof that it was not this fake shit, but I didn't test anything.
Mm-hmm.
All this stuff is.
Did I say Charlie Bassett?
Bullshit.
I meant Charlie Massett, the other head of NASA. I meant NASA.
Let me check my invisible notes.
Yeah.
I got them wrong.
All right, well, that's all. So it's like 100% a Navy missile then, right? And they're just like, fuck. Stupid private Buchanan.
There is no other reason to cover this up. If it was a terrorist thing and maybe they were like, oh, we're not ready for war. We got to hide the fact that this was it. And that's an impossible story.
Well, according to the NTSB guy, that wiring that supposedly sparked the explosion, that was one of the pieces of the plane that wasn't recovered. So that was taken out. So they couldn't even use that.
Yeah.
So that fueled the FBI.
Well,
FBI's
it
narrative.
Seems like, yeah, maybe someone took
the
it, but
of
it's
the spark
also
was gone. And they had everything else.
Well, but it's also if the explosion's going to burn up anything, it's going to be the fucking thing at the center of it, right?
No, because the whole plane was put back together.
But come on,
You'd think that the aluminum from the fuel tank would be gone too in the same way. Well, that's where the explosion was. They had it all.
I'm just saying, if there's an explosion, something has to get just poofed into non-existence.
But it's just weird because if you look at the when they put the plane back together after A, exploding, probably from a missile, and landing in the ocean, the whole thing is pretty put back together. It's yeah. nuts.
Yeah, it's
this is
crazy.
Why this is why I'm not going to get into it, but this is why the United 93 crash is the fucking dumbest thing in the world. Because
but you're not listening to what I'm saying. I understand that they put the plane together.
Oh, no, no, I get it. That's the point of impact. That is the hottest point, probably.
Be, yeah, right.
But
there's
got to
be some stuff that
that's
can't
the
survive.
Cause of the spark. But that stuff isn't flammable. That stuff isn't meltable, really. You know,
what, wire?
It could be meltable, but it couldn't.
But
I don't
the
know
rest
if it,
of the
it
wire,
wouldn't vaporize, though. It wouldn't just.
I'm saying the rest of the wire was still there. Even if it was melted, it would be melted together in one piece
yeah.
as opposed
Come
to.
On. So you're saying. Not only did it survive the explosion, but they also 100% found it in the ocean. And
I mean,
the
90%
FBI guy came
at
and
least.
Took it.
I think they yeah. did. If you look at
a fucking wire.
If you look at the guys
ocean.
Walking around inside.
No, it's small. I know. I get it. No, but you'd be impressed. I mean, they actually really did put a lot of it back together.
It's crazy. It's impossible
it's about
how much they put back
there.
Together. They're walking around in that fuel tank compartment, and it is like. A fully put together plane fuel tank, and they're in it and being like, well, this, we're missing these wires, but it's like they have all the wires connected to those wires. Whatever.
Well, listen, whatever. If the FBI took shit, they took shit. I'm just saying, like, there's no way they recovered 100% of that plane.
Yeah, and I'm saying whatever because I'm like, I don't know what I'm talking about either.
Well, what the FBI would excuse people and say that they had to sanitize the investigation. That was their excuse. And then they'd, you know, sometimes they'd do it at like 3 a.m. too. They'd be in there and the investigator would catch them.
You guys ever watch Millennium?
The movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, with Peter Weller, right?
Oh, no, I'm talking with...
Chris Christopherson.
I'm going to tell you the plot of this movie real quick. It's pretty great. This kid survives a plane crash. Of course I'm infatuated with this movie, right? This kid survives a plane crash, and he always thought that when the plane crash happened, there was something weird about it. He found some weird device. And then later on as an adult, he survived another plane crash. But what was weird about it this time was he had seen people on the plane taking the passengers off. So the plot of this movie is, and who cares if I spoil it for you? You should have watched it by now. It's from the 80s, so fuck off.
89, I think, yeah.
Never even heard of it, man. I didn't have a chance.
The plot of the movie is these people from the future's all fucked up and people are sick. They go back in time, and wherever a plane crash happens, they take off all the people that were killed and replace them with DNA replicas of themselves so that they can populate the future.
And that's what happened with TWA.
Pretty
Flight
fucking
800.
Cool movie.
That's actually a fun idea.
Yeah. If they can have DNA replicas, why don't they just make people?
Well, they could make them alive. They were like just dead bodies with their DNA.
They were
so
just
they
horrific
them.
Science. Just abominations.
They all had the same face.
I mean, these guys are pretty good, but they all look the same. Let's just go back in time.
Just let the science tell us the story. All right, go on. What were you going to say, Moles?
What was I going to say? Well, the FBI was taking shit out at 3 a.m. They'd routinely sanitize the area.
Here's a quote.
It's pretty clear that
the
NTSB was railroaded into a box and said, give us an answer within these parameters.
Here's a quote from the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers.
They were kicked out, too, sometimes.
Yeah. Is that a union?
Sure.
Their quote was, we feel that our expertise was unwelcomed
they
and not wanted by the FBI.
There's always
threats
a war.
Threats made during the first 2 weeks of investigations were unwarranted and unforgettable.
Hmm.
I didn't hear any of that. Sorry.
We feel that our expertise was unwelcomed and not wanted by the FBI.
Yeah, the smartest people in the room weren't welcome. The people that could actually
that was
know.
A story of my life, am I right?
That is true.
You guys don't want to know what I think?
We live in an era of disinformation.
You're wrong about that. Get the fuck out.
I was appointed to this position. I think I know more than you do.
You think that's jet fuel? Okay.
Okay.
That's not what I'm going to write down, but all right.
I won't say anything.
Yeah.
Is that it?
Well, okay,
I like it.
The popular theory is that
I'm on board with the Navy thing. I think you guys convinced me.
Yeah.
I'm going to post both. I know that not everybody watches this stuff, but I'm going to post both documentaries. Now, the first one made me go, there's no conspiracy here.
Yeah. No, I mean, because I was worried at first. Like, I was a kid, so.
Well, what are their titles?
When I was a kid, I was more of a Willy, where I was just like really. I was a big X-Files fan, obviously. I was worried about aliens and stuff. Then the older I got, the more like mature I got, the more.
You're not worried about aliens anymore?
No.
come to the show, June 27th.
But then the older I got, the more, you know, pragmatic I got. This happened to me right at the height of my Willyism. And then after 4 years, they came out with their official record of a fuel tank explosion. I was like, by that point in my life, I was like, oh, okay, fuel tank explosion, whatever. I kind of bought that for a while. Then YouTube, obviously, has propagated more conspiracy theories. And I look back into this, and I'm like, whoa, this wasn't...
I just think, like...
This wasn't on the level.
The front... If you're, like, on the plane and the front falls off, it doesn't seem like that's a missile, you know?
Well, here's the thing. It doesn't... In that same respect, there's no way the front falling off would make the plane go up in the air.
Yeah,
there's
sure it
no
would.
No way.
Just drag.
Yeah,
man.
No, the like... engines are still going.
No, the engines are still going, but according to the FAA, the plane didn't lose speed ever. Right?
Okay.
Well, probably when it landed in the ocean.
Yeah, it probably was going a lot faster because it's going straight down.
But
I was probably going zero when it landed in the ocean.
If the plane were to go curve up because the front came off, it would have to have so much more thrust to maintain its speed and continue to go up because you're fighting against quote-unquote gravity.
What's your point in saying that?
The official story is that the front came off and it caught on fire and that caused it to go up in the air and then it exploded. That's all impossible. That what everyone saw was the missile coming up to hit it. The missile hit it and it exploded and it just like a firework just went everywhere.
Well,
it didn't go up in the air.
Why would you make that up? That's so inconsequential. You wouldn't make that a part of
because,
the narrative.
Because every witness said that they saw a flash of light go up in the air and then an explosion happen. And so to take away the missile, they made the plane described as a missile that after the front came off, it shot up in the air. But... there's no way the thrusters went up full.
If you're discounting all of the witnesses, why would you make up an alternative fact to? Also, that doesn't make any sense to me.
That's how
they
tried
saw a missile go from the ground up.
Well, like you,
so you're saying that the plane went up a little bit?
Let's say you're just looking around, you're walking around, and then you notice a streak of light, and then you see an explosion, right?
They said it looked like a cheap firework
like
that was going up.
You wouldn't see the missile take off from ground.
No,
just
I know.
Like you catch it and you look.
I know. I just don't think like...
But there's...
A plane going up would never look like a cheap firework.
But there's like
the
five witnesses...
Hit.
Exactly. That's why I'm saying this is like a dumb thing to say.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. I thought you were saying it was dumb for me to say. I'm like, I didn't make it. Yeah, whatever.
No, I'm saying, well, it's a little dumb. I mean, like, there's a point where you have to draw the line in the things that you believe and don't believe in these things. And, like, the fact that the plane went up a little bit more after the front fell off is, like, one of those things. Like, who really cares if it did or not?
But what they're saying, though, is that They're trying to describe the missile as the plane, right? I get that you get what I'm saying.
Plane, yeah.
What I'm trying to add to that is, as soon as the front comes off the plane, the engines don't get extra thrust. Let's say the pitch of the wing, okay, as the front got torn off, it angled the things so it would angle it up, you know? you would still need thrust behind that to go up, because this plane isn't just reacting to flying through the wind.
There was an explosion. If we're following the story of the gas canister, tank?
Yeah, center fuel tank, Wade.
If that explodes, it's on the bottom of the plane, I'm assuming. Mm-hmm. Like, that'll send you up.
Yeah.
As soon as that explosion...
They came up with the great story. I got to say, the FBI...
I don't know. I don't buy it. I thought it was so weird when I watched the first story, when I was like, oh, fuck, there's no story here.
You said you bought it at first.
No. When I watched it the first time, I was like, oh, fuck, there's no conspiracy theory here. But when they said that talked about the plane going up in the air, I was like, oh, that's weird. Like, that doesn't make sense. This thing's going to fight against gravity and then have extra thrust and have the pitch.
I don't understand why you think it would need to have extra thrust.
Because, like,
it's already pointed upward.
It's pointed up. The front falls
off. The engines
off.
Are going.
Like,
still.
Where else is it going to go?
It's like if your head got cut off and, like a chicken with its head cut off and it's
right.
still running a little bit.
Yeah.
It's like that.
Let's say you jumped.
I was trying to get you on the same page.
Let's say you were jumping in the air. And you got shot. I'm not going to come up with a good parallel.
By a missile.
My thing is this, is that... As soon as the front disconnects from the engines, there's receiving no input.
But it's much lighter now. That's got to be like
that's true. Yeah.
Like a fourth of the weight of a plane, right?
It's probably not doing it for very long, you know.
And not even a fourth. All the weight is the fuel in the wings. That's all the weight.
There's a lot of computers up there.
Yeah.
I've seen it. There's like dials.
It's very
screens.
Clunky. I wouldn't even know what.
I mean,
pick up a tower computer
from 1997 and tell me that's not a heavy part of the
Those
plane.
Those monitors, they're glass.
There's some heavy stuff in that cockpit. All I'm saying is, this seems like a nitpicky.
Yeah,
like,
this is very nitpicky. I don't care.
No. I'm trying to tell you guys that physics and science is not nitpicky about. This is not what anything would do.
I don't think the engines just stop just because there's no command. They have that issue.
I'm not saying they would stop, but to go up in the air requires more.
It's already pointed upward.
You've never said how much more it went up in the air. I was just picturing like
it not very far.
Going.
Like a roller coaster.
Like the Superman ride.
Yeah.
Man.
But no, why won't you say
Answer my question. I'm trying to. For what it takes for a plane to
That wasn't my question. How far up did it go? Are they saying?
They're saying
after the front
they're, they're saying
it was like
that
15,000 feet
basically,
in the air when it happened.
Okay. Here's what they're saying. Let's say that they were at 8,000 and they were requested to go to 16,000. They're saying that 8 to 16,000 was all in that one moment.
Okay, but are those the real numbers?
I don't
think so. Pretty close.
That's pretty close, though. Yeah, 15,000 is the number that I saw.
Okay, we'll see. I mean, that you should have said that in the beginning.
It's fine.
That's a lot.
Well, no, it doesn't go up 8,000 feet.
Well, whatever it is, the adjustment that they had to make to go over the plane, they were saying that was all in the thrust up.
Okay.
Which is contradicts the FAA or the plane because
yeah.
they basically were saying like it was already up at that height when it exploded. And so now they're saying that from the bottom to the top of its climb.
I guess. It just seems weird
to
say.
Yeah, I'm not explaining it good.
No, I'm just saying it seems weird to say all of that just to discredit a few eyewitnesses who you're not listening to anyway.
But it's all of the eyewitnesses. All of the eyewitnesses
who had nothing to do with
saw the missile hit the plane.
Right, but they had nothing to do with – they were never listened to.
Right.
So what's the difference?
They were never listened to, but they were heard. I don't know if that makes sense.
Well,
people had heard their account of what they saw on the news.
There's
right.
people that have YouTube videos and whatever that have – people have interviewed
and
them
so,
since.
So basically anybody who's seen this story basically was like, oh, it sounds like a missile.
Right.
Right. Okay. Well, I mean, I think we're done here. I believe the Navy missile thing –
It also, like, the popular narrative is that it was an election year and the government did something bad. So then there's a cover up to cover that up, because otherwise Bob Dole would have, you know, been president.
Right.
But yeah, I mean,
well, he wouldn't have, though, because that was Clinton's second. He always went a second term, right?
Maybe.
That was before the missile went into Monica Lewinsky's vagina, right?
Yeah, it was before that.
Right.
Yeah, Waco happened too. You have two stories of the government being fucking not right.
Yeah.
We should do a Waco episode, because
I'm surprised we haven't. I'm an idiot.
That stuff goes deep, man. You got to look into Ruby Ridge and stuff, and then that leads to the Oklahoma City bombing.
That's like two episodes.
That's a good episode. All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. Moles, thanks for being here. You got anything to plug, your Twitter or anything?
I'm writing a bunch of stuff. I just started writing like a comic.
Are you going to put it online?
Maybe. I mean, if there's any illustrators out there, I'd be interested in hearing from you.
Oh, yeah. Hit him up. Skoloizoid.
Skolkazoid.
Aaron_Moles on Twitter.
Sorry, it's just an old email.
It's a weird email. I mean, I've had that email forever, and yeah.
Aaron.Moles?
AaronMoles@Outlook.com is my human email.
What? Right now?
Well, I mean, I have another email. Just
Outlook?
Outlook has its own interface. AaronMoles@gmail.com was taken, so.
So you went full into the Hotmail realm.
I mean.
Just because they changed their name to Outlook doesn't mean they're not Hotmail.
They are kind of hot, yeah. It's okay. It's not as bad as you think. But Aaron_Moles on Twitter, just DM me.
All right, sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's find you an illustrator.
Yeah.
Is it kind of sci-fi or?
It's post-apocalyptic sci-fi.
Yeah. All right, yeah. So someone will be into that.
Yeah.
Willie, anything?
No.
All right. I don't have anything. Come to our live show June 27th.
Tuesday, Los Angeles, packed theater.
I got to fly at the end of the month now, so thanks.
Yeah, me too.
You're welcome. Make sure you keep. Make sure you think about everything we told you.
I will. No way I won't. Well. I'll just be drunk, I guess. Thanks for listening, everybody. Like us on iTunes? Can you like things on iTunes?
Yeah, rate us on iTunes. Why not? You're listening already.
And remember, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not after you.
Feral Audio.
Hello, I'm Kyle Ayers. I'm the host of Never Seen It, the podcast where comedians rewrite famous movies and TV shows they've never seen, and then we give them a read in studio. This is a clip I want to play for you guys from an episode where Langston Kerman rewrites Scarface. He's never seen it, but he wrote a script based on what he thinks he knows about it, and here's a clip. Give it a listen.
All right, Scarface, The New Frontier. Interior. Happening discotheque. Remember when we called clubs discotheques? LOL. The 70s were crazy. Night. The crowd bustles with young, hot Mexicans who are supposed to be Cuban and all are dressed in butterfly collared shirts and pants that look like JNCO jeans and pleated khakis had a really weird baby. There's sex in the air and Poppy wants a whiff.
Oh my God.
Scarface, 22 to 45.
Like he's a television audience demographic.
Devilishly handsome. Not even a little bit Italian looking, so get that out of your dumb brain. Walks through the crowd with the confidence of a man who's going on MTV Cribs with the Ying Yang Twins one day. Does he actually have a scar on his face? Fuck no. Why would you even ask that? That's not important. What's important is that he is not at all a problematic stereotype and that he has come for his cocaine. As he approaches the red rope of the VIP, pronounced ve a pe in Spanish,
oh my God.
He spots his dear friend who is almost certainly going to become his enemy by the end of the film, Smooth Skin. Scarface yells out his signature line.
Ciao, Bella. It's me, Scarface.
Oh, my God.